Speedway in there. And I look over. 5 minutes till eight. 5 minutes till eight this morning. Parking ride is packed to the gills selling stuff. Back to back people, vendors in there, people selling their wares, and a line of cars to go buy stuff from. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's not even 8 o'clock. And these people are out there running around like crazy people to buy something that somebody else probably just trying to throw away, really, but to get sold. And I'm sitting there thinking, how come these people can get up and be at a yard sale, a flea market, a parking ride before 8 o'clock in the morning, but they can't get in church? They can't get up to come to church. Oh, I'm too tired. I can't make it this morning. Well, you're tired because you got up and went to the yard sale and went back home and went to bed. Amen. Where are our priorities? Our priorities. I'll get that word out. Where are our priorities? Hey, I know a lot of church people that still do that on Sundays. Some of them show up for church Sunday. Amen. They know where their priorities lie. We've got to have God in our priorities. We can't put other stuff ahead of Him anymore. We can't put yard selling ahead of Him. If that's keeping us from church, if that's keeping us from the Lord's house, if that's keeping us from getting in His Word, get a little bit closer to Him, or to even know Him for the first time, we got to get all that junk out of our way. We got to look at Jesus 100% 24/7. And I just pray for the time when the time comes that some people will change what their first priority is, rather than self, family, job, whatever activity they want to do. I pray that they change it to where Jesus is first. Because you know what? Then they're not going to worry about all that stuff they're down there trying to buy. Because they're going to have the happiness of the Lord in their heart. There's nothing that all that stuff that they're buying and doing is filling that empty hole in their heart and their soul. So I ask y'all to pray for them. That has nothing to do with my message, but it was on my heart. So, right? You sometimes got to take a little story and a point with the message, right? So your message last week, y'all remember what the title was last week? Anybody home? Hey, anybody home can type it in faster than anybody here can say it?
Giving up on prayer.
Not the week before. Yeah. Well, we got another one of those too. Last week was sold for rent.
That's right.
Sold for rent. Is our soul for rent? When we kick our demons out, do we just leave empty spaces for them to get back, or do we fill it with Jesus? Do we fill it with the love of God? Amen. This week's message is titled "Never Give Up When You Pray." Never give up when you pray. And Betty's out sick today. Betty, we're praying for you. So we won't have the scripture on the screen, but I'm going to tell you, it's coming from the book of Luke. Everybody say, I like the book of Luke.
I like the book of Luke.
Everybody at home, give me a thumbs up on the book of Luke. Amen. But it's the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Again, Luke 18, 1 through 8. I'm going to read the NIV version. If you're there with me, say amen. Me and Jesus are the only one there.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
If you made it to Luke 18, 1 through 8 at home, give me a thumbs up in the comments. Amen. Or an amen. Work too. But verse 1 through 8 says this. And this is the parable of the persistent widow. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared and what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care for what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said this, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice from those chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your scripture today, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask you to get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak through me today, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. And Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to what you have for us in the message, Lord, and the blessing of it, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We ask you, as always, to be in through the rest of the service, Lord, and all through our lives, Jesus. In your name I pray. Y'all might like this, y'all might not. Some people don't like some stories sometimes. But my goal in the sermon is very simple. I hope to convince you of the importance of persistence in prayers. I want you to see that God is greatly glorified when we continue in prayer over a long period of time. Or to say it another way, I want us to understand that we ought to not give up when we pray. We can say the same thing two different ways. It's good and important that we don't give up. God is greatly glorified when we don't give up. That's the two different ways. It is good and important that we don't give up. And God is glorified, greatly glorified, when we don't give up. Not long ago, I received this email. It was talking about a Bible study at one local church. It said, the question was asked, should I pray for something, believing that prayer or that the prayer will be answered? And then the next time, I pray, thank God for answering my prayer, although it has not come to fruition yet. Or should I pray the same prayer request over and over again? Does it mean that if I ask over and over again, that I lack faith in God answering? If I thank him and wait, does it mean that I'm not praying unceasingly? Or is it a combination of those two? Sometimes we know in our hearts that the prayer request has been answered, so we thank him for it. And sometimes we're led by the Holy Spirit to just ask over and over again that same prayer. We've all wondered how long we should pray for something. Amen? Here's the general rule that we can follow. You should pray for something until. You should pray for something until the answer comes or the circumstances change or God changes the burden on your heart. Y'all hear that again? You should pray for something until the answer comes, until the circumstances change, or until God changes the burden on our hearts. Amen. We shouldn't discount the importance of that third one. It's hard to define a burden, but we all know what it's like to care and have a deep care for others. God gave us the burden to pray for people, didn't he? And for our church, for revival for revival here in the community. Amen. And we're seeing some of those prayers come to fruition. Or for the spread of the gospel in foreign countries like we've seen through missionaries there. And for a certain city or for the people where we work, where we go to school. Amen. Burdens come in all forms, all shapes, all sizes. So we should be sensitive to those all those burdens and use them as incentives to pray, as reasons to pray. But we need not feel guilty about it. Amen. We need not feel guilty when our prayers begin to change. God may be calling us to focus on something else. He may be calling us to pray for a different direction. Amen. Obviously, we will always be burdened to pray for all of our kids, all of our grandkids, all of our youth here in the community. Amen. For our spouse, for our immediate family, and our immediate concerns. But beyond that inner link or inner circle, our prayers will change over time. But what about praying for the same thing over and over again? Is that a good thing? Or is that a sign of lack of faith? Let's begin by noting that many times when we pray, we simply don't know how God intends to answer those prayers. That often happens when we pray for a loved one who is desperately sick. We generally don't know in advance if God truly intends to heal them quickly or slowly, or take them home. Amen. And when we pray for certain things to happen, we don't fully know the mind of the Lord. I often think of a prayer as if it was appearing through a keyhole and focusing on one tiny portion of it, one tiny portion of a vast and ever-changing scene. Because we focus only on the part of that interests us, don't we? A lot of times when we focus our prayer, when we pray on the stuff that we're interested in. And kind of leave the other stuff on the outside. Amen? And we pray for certain things. We can't, and we don't see the bigger picture when we're like that, when we got the little small keyhole prayers going through. We can't see how the parts of life are fitted together. But only God sees those things, don't He? We don't know what's going to happen down the road. Only God does. Amen? He sees the full landscape, the whole landscape of life. He sees the past, present, and future with all these interlocking pieces together. There's another whole category of prayer that might be called prayer for spiritual growth. We ask God to grant us wisdom. We ask God to grant us strength. We ask God to grant us perseverance, to grant us discernment, to grant us courage, to grant us a deeper understanding, a fresh anointing of the Spirit, amen? A new desire to serve Christ. Clear guidance or peace in the midst of trials. Those are extremely biblical reasons, aren't they? Or requests, aren't they? And we may be sure that God will answer those one way or the other. But the how and the when rest in our hands. Amen. Or in the hands of the Lord. Repeat that last part. The how and the when rest in the hands of the Lord. The last part of the question speaks to a situation that happens occasionally. As we pray together and with others, we may sense that God intends to answer our prayer request. In those cases, I see nothing wrong with moving from prayer to thanksgiving in those. However, let's be clear. God is sovereign over us, isn't He? He is not held captive by any of us. Amen? He's not held captive by us in any subjective sense of what we think that He'll do for us in the future. Amen? So we're going to look at three scriptures for you tonight on the power of prayer and never giving up. Amen? The first one is going to come from Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17, NIV version says this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better.
so that you may know him better. Note that phrase, I keep asking. Paul did not believe that if you made a prayer request, you should never make it again, did he? He said in his own scripture, I keep asking. When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he prayed the same request over and over and over again, that they would know God better. Sometimes I hear it said that since God knows everything, that we say before we say it and even after we think it, that we should never repeat ourselves in prayer, which is not true. Amen? It's perfectly okay to repeat ourselves in prayer. We don't pray to inform God of anything, do we? He knows what we're thinking long before we voice it through our prayers to him. But if he knows all, why pray at all? Simple answer is one that we probably have before. Because he's God and we're not. That's why we should continue praying, because he's God and we're not. We pray to express our total dependence on him in every circumstance of life. And we continue to pray for the same things for our loved ones over and over and over again. The godly desires of the heart grow stronger, and we're reminded that every day we must be 100% dependent on our Lord and Savior. We can't live on yesterday's healings. We can't depend on yesterday's prayers. So like Paul said, we keep asking on behalf of our loved ones. Amen. The second scripture is Matthew 6:8. NIV version of Matthew 6:8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Again, Matthew 6:8 NIV. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. Our God knows everything. He knows what's on your mind right now. Hey, some of y'all might want to change your mindset, because God knows what's on our mind before we do. Amen. This means we don't have to impress God and use big words or pray long prayers. Amen. I'm sure you've seen here in our church, there's this watching at home, I'm sure you've seen a vast array of words used and length of prayer from all of us here. Amen. But that's a good thing. You don't have to worry about using them crazy words or how long the prayer is. We don't have to repeat ourselves when we pray. And we don't have to worry about getting all the details correct or throw the flowery language when we pray. Since God knows us through and through, he knows our needs better than we do. God knows our needs better than what we do. Amen. He knew your need before you bowed your head. The Bible tells us that he numbers the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore, and the hairs on your head. He even calls the stars by name. Ponder that for a moment. God calls the stars by name. That is crazy. Billions and billions of stars, and he still knows each one of them. Amen. Think about how easily that we get flustered on Sunday morning trying to remember the person that you met last week at work or at home or at Kroger's. But God not only knows all the people in our church here, he knows every person attending every church across our world, everywhere in the world. Amen. More than that, he knows the names of all of us. God knows the names of all 6.5 billion people who call Earth home. But even beyond that, yeah, there's another but. Beyond that, he knows the names of everyone who has ever lived. And everybody yet to be born. Amen. God already knows everybody's name. I think that's awesome. If God knows all that, and it's not even a strain for him, do you think that he's going to be surprised that you're worried about your finances, or that you don't like your job, or that your kids are getting on your nerves, or grandkids, or some of you are watching and they're getting on your nerves. Different things are getting on your nerves. Amen. He knows our thoughts before we ever express them. Amen. He knows your words before you speak them. So pour out your hearts to the Lord. Nothing we tell Him will surprise Him. Guess what? That also, He knows what sins we're committing. Amen. Or sins that we're going to be tempted with in the future. So we got to bring them to the Lord too. Amen. Not just our problems and issues, but also our sins. We need to lay before Him as well. Amen. Because nothing's going to surprise Him. He knows how bad I was in my past. Amen. He knows how I'm going to act a week from now. God knows everything. And the last scripture for this is Luke 18:1, the CEV version says it this way. Jesus told His disciples a story about how they should keep praying, keep on praying, and never give up. The King James says that men should always pray and not faint. Persistent prayer honors our God because it expresses our complete dependence on Him. Amen. Since God knows what we need before we even ask Him, we don't have to repeat ourselves to get His attention. But that's not the whole story. Amen. We all know from personal experiences that not all of our prayers are answered the first time we pray them up. First time we bring them up. Amen. Not all of them are answered. Sometimes we receive immediate answers, don't we? But oftentimes we must wait. Yeah, there's that wait word again that all of us hate doing, don't we? But most of the times, we must wait for the answer. Get that out. Sometimes we have to wait days. Sometimes we have to wait weeks. Sometimes we have to wait months for the answer from God before it comes. Amen. Tell y'all a little story here real fast about that persistent widow. In order to help us understand that principle, Jesus gave us the parable of the widow who wouldn't give up in Luke 18:2-8. If you've ever known a widow, and I'm sure most of us have, amen, you know how true to life that story is, that they don't give up. They don't give up. They keep going for what need they have. Amen. I can remember a time when a friend of mine became a widow. A few weeks after her husband died, I was home and took a visit with her. And just before supper, we were talking. She called the family to the table. As she had done for so many years, she called out the father's name that was missing. The husband that was widow, that was made her a widow. And then she gasped, realizing he was not there to answer her call. How many of us have ever called on somebody that we've lost as a routine habit of living with them forever and loving on them forever? But she gasped, realizing that he wasn't there to call. No one said a word to her. But suddenly, they realized she might be alone in the world at that point because she had lost her husband. She had nobody else there. Amen. Widows have an even more difficult position, or had a more difficult position in the first century. They were quite literally unprotected. Many became homeless and destitute after their husbands died. Often, they were taken in by cunning con men. Widows were taken in by cunning con men, including some religious leaders at that time who would devour widows' houses. A sin that brought a fierce denunciation from Jesus. In order to survive, a widow had to learn how to fend for themselves. Amen. In a male-dominated society, that society was not kind to women. So they had to learn to fend for themselves. She couldn't count on anybody to come and help her or to come to her aid. Amen. And she had to assume that others would quickly take advantage of her. Amen. Hey, I know some women today that need to get that realization. And to live that the life that they're living right now, the people are just trying to take advantage of them. Amen. We've got a lot of women living like that now. This is what we know about the widow in this story. She had an adversary. She couldn't solve her own problem. She was persistent. She had a genuine need. She got what she wanted with that need. Amen. And this is what we know about the judge in the story. He didn't fear God. He didn't respect man. He was unrighteous from heel to top of his head. Amen. He didn't care about the widow. He didn't care about the widow. He was unwilling to help her at first, wasn't he? But evidently, the facts in the case didn't move him, and he had no desire to see justice done with her. To him, she was just another bothersome woman. And note this key point. His only motive for helping her was utterly selfish for himself. He only helped her because she became persistent in her coming to him. Coming before his court, she became persistent. That's the only reason that the judge helped her. She kept coming. She kept bothering him. Until he feared that she'd beat him down with her continuing coming. From beginning to end, he doesn't care about the woman. Doesn't feel her pain or worry that she isn't getting justice. He only gives her what she wants because she keeps nagging and bothering him and coming to him with her requests. Amen. In the morning, it was give me justice. In the afternoon, it was give me justice. In the evening, when she showed up, it was give me justice. Give the widow credit, though. Amen. She never gave up. Did she? She was persistent. She never gave up. And she got what she wanted. You know, and God never gives up on us. No matter how crazy we are, He still never gives up on us. And He's right there waiting for us to come back at that additional time if we need to. Amen? Give the judge credit, a little credit anyway. He gave her justice. Even if He did it for the wrong reasons, He still gave it to her. Amen? It's a simple, true story of life. The widow got through the uncaring judge and got what she needed to live on. Amen? And the moral of the story is this. In order to get the lesson that Jesus intends, we need to understand two key points from it. The first one being, we are like the widow in need. Amen? Our problems are two sizes too large for us. No matter what we do, things get worse. Amen. If man is in it, it's going to get worse. Amen. If God's in it, we're going to get better. And there are times when the whole world seems to come crashing down upon each one of us. We may go weeks, months, or even years thinking that we can solve our own problems. How many of you have been there? Amen. But the line between happiness and tragedy is mightily thin. It only takes one phone call to put us face down on the floor begging God to help us again. Amen. And the second lesson is this. God is not like that unjust judge. God is not like that unjust judge. The judge was an uncaring jerk, wasn't he? He didn't care what the woman what about the woman at all. He lacked all compassion for the widow. He granted her wish simply because she kept on coming to him time and time again. Amen? But if that's true, why would Jesus use this as an illustration like this? He seems to be calling us to be persistent in prayer by using his example of a man who is nothing like the Heavenly Father. The only way that I know to explain this is to share something from my personal experience. My own father came from what you might call the old school of parenting. Because he was a busy man, he worked in the coal mines a lot. And because he was from a different generation, he wasn't like the fathers of today. He didn't want to be their friends. He didn't want to be my friend. Amen? My dad came from another generation, and the father of another set of values. Amen? He always wore comfortable clothes when he was around people. He treated people with respect. He believed in good manners. And he didn't think children should talk back to their parents. I learned that lesson quite a few times. Just say, I'm sure some of us here at home have experienced ourselves talking back to our parents as we were growing up. It was not a fun time, was it? We did not get away with what the kids get away with today. Because now when you go to do something about the way they talk to you, what's the first thing they say? I'll call CPS. I'm like, you're getting whipped. You're not getting beat. There's a big difference. Amen? But there's more to the story. They built a basketball goal for us in the backyard and occasionally shot baskets with us. He took us with him, running around the coal ridges and mountain ridges. He sung some crazy songs while we were in those cars. Sometimes he wasn't in all of his faculties. He was able to drive, but his brain may have been impaired with some of the songs that he got. But growing up, there was never any question about what you were going to do. Go to college. It's going to be your first people in your family. Go to college. Go to college. Get a job. First people in your family, get a good job. Amen. And even though I came from a different generation, I tried to follow that same principle that he put out. I wanted my kids to know that whatever they needed me for, whatever it was, that they can talk to me whenever they have a need. Jesus is there. Whenever we have a need, he wants us to ask, just like we would our Father. He wants us to tell him what the problem is and ask for his help. Amen? Because trust me, we are not going to get ourselves out of that need. There is no way possible without having some Jesus up in us and some prayers to our Heavenly Father. Amen? So I'm going to leave you three questions to ponder as we wrap up the sermon here. And Jesus brings home the point with these three questions. And the first one is, will not God bring about justice? And the answer is yes. Will God keep putting us off? The answer is no. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? And the answer is maybe. Maybe. Maybe we have faith. When the Son of Man comes back, when Jesus comes back in that cloud in the sky, will he find faith in our church? Will he find faith in our household? Will he find faith in our hearts? Amen. I pray that he will in every one of yours. At this very moment, I'm looking at the sermon notes. Now I ask you, each one of us can say this, that we don't feel that all of our prayers have been answered. We don't feel that all the prayers that we have put up to God have been answered yet. Amen? And all of them haven't been answered yet. Amen? We're still out there. They're still there. This week I read a story about George Mueller of Bristol, whose life story remains a powerful testament to the virtue of persistence in prayer. Near the end of his life, he confided to a friend that he'd been praying for two men to come to Christ for over 50 years. When the friend wondered why he had continued to pray, Mueller said that if God had given such a heavy burden, surely it was because he intended to save those two men. It came to pass that one of the men came to Christ shortly before Mueller died, and the other to Christ shortly after he passed away. So I leave you now with one final insight from the story. We've already said that the unjust judge is not like our Heavenly Father. Amen. Yet the judge is like him in one respect. And we'll have fully understanding of the parable. We won't have full understanding of the parable unless we grasp this truth. The unjust judge delayed the answer for unjust reasons. But our Heavenly Father delays the answers for our prayers for righteous reasons. Amen? Not for unjust, but for righteous reasons. What else did Jesus mean when he refers to the elect who cry out to God day and night? Sometimes God seems to be just like that unjust judge, don't he? We often feel that way. Especially when we cry out to God for our loved ones. And the heavens seem as brass, just set there. Even the most righteous experience periods, I can get that word out, where God seems far away and that we're not reaching him. Sometimes we feel like he's uncaring because he hasn't answered us in that time. There's no way around that reality. We shouldn't deny it or pretend that we don't feel that sometimes. Amen? But the question is not, is God like the unjust judge? The answer is no. The question is rather, what will we do when it seems to us that God is like that unjust judge? Will we give up? Or will we continue to pray? That's the power. That's the power of prayer. Continue praying. No matter what the situation, no matter what the issue, continue praying until God answers it. Amen? Because if he doesn't answer it that day, again, he always answers our prayers either yes, no, or you got to wait a little bit. Amen? If we think God is like the uncaring judge, then we'll get angry and stop praying. If we think that we have to talk God into loving us, we'll become cynical Christians. Amen? If we think that our persistence convinces God to do something he wouldn't otherwise do, then we'll end up thinking that our prayers are more powerful than God himself. But if we believe that God is the Father Almighty, who loves us without limit, and also knows what is best for us, then we'll cry back to him again, day and night. Amen? Believing that he will answer us, that it will come speedily, quickly, just in the nick of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the importance of continued prayer, Lord. The importance of never giving up on our prayers, Lord. Lord, I thank you for implanting that, the blessing for that in our hearts today, Lord. Lord, and I ask you just to go with us as we go through the rest of the day, Lord. Lord, as always, may you put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, your love, and your grace, Lord. Lord, may we go out into this dark world and be your light, Jesus. Lord, may you always get all glory and honor and praise, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Did you turn it on? We got a final song.